throughout the United States and yet throughout the world, Christians are celebrating this as the resurrection of Christ, or as Easter. Easter, to me and to many, is a secular holiday, separate and apart from the celebration or the remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus. But this is approximately the time of the year when Jesus was raised from the dead. It was during the week of the Passover that he came into the city of Jerusalem, that he had the mock trials after being betrayed by Judas, that he was crucified, and then he was raised on that following Sunday morning. So this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Each Sunday we should remember Jesus till he comes again if we partake of the Lord's Supper. I'd like to call your attention to a reading this morning in Mark chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. We'll read verses 12 through 14 and then 33 through 37. Mark 15, verse 12 through 14 and 33 through 37. And Pilate answered and said unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him who call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And when the sixth hour was come, there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth the lights." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, and let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Will be the purpose of our lesson this morning to study the subject of the resurrection of Christ and to see, to learn more about the meaning of this event as far as we're concerned, as far as we're concerned as Christians. Because you see, at this particular point of that week in the life of Jesus, we find that they are ready to crucify him in his last week. And after this particular reading, I'm sure that the people there said, "This will surely mean his death." And everyone remembering later the dread day when the sun went down at noonday said, "He's dead." And the callous Roman soldiers who were gamblers at the foot of the cross would say, "He is dead." And there was the curious crowd seeing what was happening. And they failed to see, however, the eternal value of the events of that day. And they said, "He is dead." And Pilate, letting his own political interests trample his conscience, also said, "He is dead." The religious leaders, with their smugness, with their hypocrisy that he had condemned, thought he was dead, and that was the end. There was a head wagging mob that had cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And with his dying agonies and dying words, they said, "He is dead." His disciples at that time were numb. They were stunned. They were unable to cope with what was going on Calvary's Hill. All his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee and many beholding him from afar said, "He is dead," and thought that to be the end. Then he was buried. And the kingdom about which he had talked had shrunk to the narrow dimensions of a gravesite. The throne from which they hoped to see him conqueror, now had death had conquered him, seemingly. Because the Bible record of Jesus was to stop at this point. I wouldn't be inviting you to these Bible classes on Sunday morning. I wouldn't be inviting you to come back tonight and study the parables of one called Jesus. I wouldn't be inviting you back to the midweek study of the book of Acts. But that's not the end of the Bible record of Jesus. Let's look at chapter 20 of the book of John. Let's explore this week further. John 20, verses 1 through 18. I want to share with you a reading of some of the events surrounding the resurrection and the appearances of Jesus. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said to her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus wasn't done in a vacuum. It was done in a period of time. It was done in history. There were people around. There were people who were witnesses. Here we have the empty, open tomb as proof of the resurrection. We have Mary Magdalene, one of the disciples of Jesus, there. We have two of the apostles, Peter and John, coming to the tomb and seeing it empty. As we continue our reading in the book of John. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So now he appears to his disciples, to 10 of them. Judas would not be there, and Thomas was absent. Later down in verse 24 through 29, we have another appearance of Jesus at the time Thomas was there. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days came his disciples. They were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Therefore, then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Thomas, who was not a believer in Jesus' resurrection, now believed because he had seen. And Jesus replied to him in the very next verse, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." As we look at the first century church, one of the focal points of their teaching was the resurrection of Christ. Those who not many days before were looking for his kingdom and wondered what was going to happen now that he was being tried, now that he was being put on that cross, now that he was being placed in that grave. But then they saw him after he had been raised. They saw the empty tomb. And they could go forth now with boldness as we see Peter in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, as he preaches to thousands, and they preach to thousands there. And he teaches about the crucifixion. He teaches about the burial of Jesus. He teaches about the resurrection. He teaches about Jesus being at the right hand of the Father. They are very bold in that teaching because they were eyewitnesses of what occurred during that week and on that Sunday morning, just outside the city of Jerusalem. To the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul had a number of things to say about the resurrection of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. For some reason, even though Paul had spent a year and a half with these people at Corinth, had taught them, had baptized them, so they were followers of Christ, they were believers in Christ, believers in God, but for some reason they had a problem with the resurrection of the dead. They were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. So Paul, in the 15th chapter, rehearses with them what he had taught when he had been there. And then he tells them some of the problems that would exist if there was no resurrection of the dead. And let's review some of those. Look back in verses 1 to 4. First part of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Well, what did he preach to them? He said, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." He received it by a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. And so he is speaking what he had received. He's telling them what he had received from Jesus. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That was part of the gospel that he taught. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then he goes on and tells about the number of people that were there to see Jesus alive between the time he was resurrected and the 40 days later when he ascended back into heaven to be with the Father. He speaks of at least 500 brethren at one time seeing Jesus. And he said, some of them are still alive. You want to check it out? Some of them are still alive, he said. So he could not be perpetrating a falsehood or a tale just to back up something that he thought, and he was so disappointed that he had to make up the fact or make up the thought and the statement that Jesus had been raised from the dead. He actually believed it. He believed it, and there were others that saw it. And if the church at Corinth and the individuals there did not believe that, they needed to check with at least 500 brethren, most of whom were still alive. So Paul had delivered unto them that Christ died, that he had died for our sins, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This had been prophesied. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That had been preached again and again and again. Down at verse 12 and verse 13, we see Paul mentioning the problem that they had. He said, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead? He said, can't you see that there's a problem here? If you don't believe there's a resurrection from the dead, you don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And then he mentioned some things that would cause a domino effect if Christ be not risen. If Christ be not risen, verse 14, then our preaching is vain. Paul said, everything we preach, you can just forget it. It was empty. It was worthless. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, the proof of Jesus being who he said he was in the resurrection of the dead by the power of the Father. The proof of us being raised one day from the dead to have eternal life was given on that Sunday morning as Jesus was raised from the dead. And he's seeking to let them know in no uncertain terms, Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. He said, now don't just talk about there being no resurrection. Everything you believe is gone. It's useless. Yea, and we are found false witness of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Whom he raised not up if the dead do not rise. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. He said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, go check his tomb. He's still there. And they knew that that was not the case. They didn't think that their whole belief system would fall apart if they just had this one problem of not believing in the resurrection. And if Christ be not risen, he said, you're yet in your sins. They were without hope. They were without Christ. They were without God. They were with their sins. And if Christ be not risen, he said, our departed loved ones who believed in Christ and believe in the resurrection of the dead, they're perished, having believed in vain. And if Christ be not risen, we have hope only in this life and are all, above all, most men, most miserable. Because we're looking for blessings. We've been promised blessings that we'll never receive if Christ be not risen. Jesus had said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Briefly, some other points from the Bible on the meaning of the resurrection. Later, Paul would say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8, remember that Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So this was something that Timothy preached, Paul preached again and again, not just to the city of Corinth. So the resurrection is tangible proof to us that there's life beyond the grave. It's not hopeless. Second thing, if Christ rises from the dead, is a seal to the claims he made. He made a lot of claims. One of the things he claimed to be deity. He claimed to be God. Acts 17, verse 31. He was proved to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. You know, the resurrection of Jesus was the acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice by God for our sins. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. His resurrection is a guarantee of our resurrection. To the apostles who were discouraged, John chapter 14, among other things, Jesus said to them and to us, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Christ died. Christ died for our sins. Christ died according to the Scriptures, and he was buried. But he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Before the tomb of Lazarus, Christ stood one day and dried the people's tears away. And he spoke forth in mighty voice that made Judea's hills rejoice. Come forth. Inside the tomb, Christ lay one morn, defeated seemed salvation's horn. But God the Father spoke the word, and this he said, though no man heard, come forth. Inside the tomb of sin I lay. The price of sin I had to pay, but Christ, the raiser of the dead, spoke to my poor bound soul and said, come forth. When the great and final sound shall raise our loved ones from the ground, 'twill be the last time we shall hear the glorious sound upon our ear. Come forth. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For I am meek and lowly, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You're here this morning and not become a Christian. Having studied on your own or with someone else, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that you're in your sins without him and what he did upon the cross for our sins. You're willing to confess his name before this group, to repent of those sins and to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins as they did in the first century, as they did in the early church. Why not do that this morning? If as a Christian you need prayers of this congregation, why not come as we stand, as we sing. First word.